gather around your speakers, hoop heads. It's NBA story time. Jamel Johnson here to spin you tales of NBA shenanigans you didn't know you needed to know. Like that time when a little startup league tried anything to be relevant. Or when Ricky Davis earned himself a dumb nickname. I also love you, Ricky Davis. Catch a new tale on NBA Storytime every week, then listen to the postgame where I break it down with comedians, ballers, and what have you. Find NBA Storytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
In 2003, Nike signed 13-year-old Freddie Adu to a seven-figure contract. But Freddie didn't live up to the hype. He has turned down every single documentary project looking closely at the details of his career. Until now.
People are going to look at everything you did because of the hype surrounding your arrival and what they think you can be.
I'm Grant Wall, and this is American Prodigy, Freddie Adu, from Blue Wire Podcasts.
In this episode of the Washed Up Archons podcast, Kevin and myself go at the CFP picture and who deserves to be inside that Final Four. Ohio State, should they be in at 6-0? The Big Ten, they just changed the rules so that Ohio State could be in the picture. Cincinnati, Iowa State, Texas A&M, we talk about it all. We also preview a little bit of the Wisconsin game that the Hawks face this weekend. Let's have a day. Let's go. Welcome in. This is what you've all been waiting for. It's the Kevin and Tyler show. We're changing the name of the podcast. It's a new podcast. Brand new podcast. In fact, Kevin's on his new microphone.
Hey, sounding crystal clear so I can serenade you Washed Up Walk-On listeners.
Yeah, no, it's still going to be echoey because he's in a dungeon. He's literally in a room that just has four walls. It's like the insane asylum. They just stick the... That's Kevin. They put him in the...
It's a desk with four walls. Getting furniture in this room in about 3 weeks, so...
Good. That'll help a little bit. Yeah. You're really moving up in the world, huh? Full adult.
Getting furniture, man.
Furniture.
It's exciting.
Let me tell you about a time when I got furniture. My wife convinced me... Mostly because, as a husband, you just at some point you basically just give in.
Yes.
And this turned out to be, you know, hindsight, it actually was a good purchase. But we did not have any plans of getting a sectional. In fact, you commented on the sectional the last time you were here.
Good couch, man.
Great couch. It was not in the plans, right? And then all of a sudden, we have a sectional. Within 2 days of even talking about it, Lauren's like, Homemakers is having a sale. All of a sudden, we're at Homemakers. We're spending we're 2 hours in at Homemakers, and now we have a freaking Nebraska Furniture Mart card, and we threw down a freaking sectional on it. So, And that's how it goes.
No, I'll tell you what, man. Once you lay in a sectional, it's hard to just go back to the sofa.
Oh, dude. It really has transformed like how we hang out at our house. It always our couch sucked. It was a two-person couch and it wasn't good. So we would just hang out in our bedroom at night basically after dinner. Now we just hang out down on the sectional. We've slept on it multiple times.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Anyway, enough about that. Kevin and Tyler's show. Not
about couches.
Where we talk about furniture and adulting. What else? I know. in the adult, this is how I knew I was an adult, Kevin. Last week, I realized I was trying to think of some extra gifts. A few family members have been asking. And the two gifts that came to mind were a leaf blower and, oh God, what was the other one? It was something else. It was something else like that. But I was like, you know what?
Oh, you're asking for a leaf blower?
It was like, man, I could really use some hanging hooks in the garage and a leaf blower.
I mean, the hanging hooks I can understand. Are the leaves really that big of an issue for you?
Well, I work out with the garage door open, and okay. The back alley of the houses, row of houses that we live in, it just is windy for some reason. And so the leaves, they blow in. And in the middle of my workout, I thought, oh, well, guess what? I'm 38 now. I'm 38 because I want a leaf blower.
And you know what I'm thinking of right now?
What?
Do you know that SpongeBob episode where Squidward goes to live with the other octopuses?
Yeah.
And he gets bored and just starts playing with the leaf blower?
Yeah. That's so great. Let's talk football. Let's talk the reason for the season, which some would call Jesus, but we're going to say it's football. It's football season. Iowa, the Hawkeyes. We played for them, in fact, Kev. You remember that? Feels like a long time ago.
Long time ago.
I mentioned to the group text today that I ran sprints. Granted, there were some other things that part of the workout today, but I felt like an old guy running. I felt like I looked unathletic, and that made me sad.
Do you know it will be less than three weeks, it'll be 3 years since we played a football game.
That is ultimately sad. Ultimately sad. You know, which marks 3 years since we were about 3 weeks away from the best 4 months of our life.
Damn right.
The
yeah.
Spring of 2018, which will go down in infamy. Big Big Ten news. Ohio State gets what they want. Guess what?
Michigan tried.
They tried. Harbaugh said, one last, I think Drake put it on his Instagram. He's like one last clown as the leader of the Wolverines. He was going to take out the Buckeyes from being in the college football playoff. And the Big Ten said, Well,
we can't have Northwestern versus Indiana because, you know, that's just not allowed. Okay, it's just not allowed.
No one's going to watch, and
we need the money.
What are your thoughts on this? I know there's a lot. There's a lot that goes into this.
It's deep, man. On one hand, you want to say the Big Ten should stand by the rules that they set at the beginning of the season.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, how do you keep a team that hasn't lost a game
out
and beat the team that would play if they didn't play this week out, you know, possibly one of the best teams in the country? How do you keep them out of the title game just because the other teams canceled on them? I don't think.
Right.
Ohio State's problem, like Maryland canceled on them.
Maryland and Michigan for sure. I don't remember.
Michigan canceled on them. Who's their other game?
Let me pull it up here.
Illinois, maybe?
Could have been Ohio State. This is what you get, people, on the Kevin and Tyler show. You get a little bit of in-between time. I'm looking up Ohio State's schedule. It doesn't even show the games that were canceled. Let's see. They played Michigan State.
Ohio State is Illinois.
Penn State.
They've had a couple cases. Like, I know their head coach, Coach Day, didn't coach this last week. But, I'm pretty sure it's been the other teams all canceling on them.
How do you
do that and say, okay, well, you guys can't play?
That's my biggest thing for just inside the Big Ten environment, right? This is clearly, I think it's safe to say, maybe you disagree, that this move by the Big Ten is only so they can be considered for the college football playoff, right? If the college football playoff.
You're like saying if they're say Indiana had beat them, but Indiana had lost to
somebody else, and
like one of their crossover games.
Sure.
So Indiana's not in the college football playoff discussion, but they're still going to the Big Ten East.
Yeah.
They're still going to the Big Ten title. Would they have done the same for them? Doubt it.
I don't. Yeah, I don't think so either. I think there's a couple teams who get
what
that.
What about an undefeated Indiana team that is in the running that beat Ohio State? What if Northwestern was undefeated? I don't know.
Northwestern. I mean, can you imagine Pat Fitzgerald in a Final Four? I think he'd find a way to get a win, dude. I think
Northwestern's more pissed off about this decision than Indiana is.
Oh, gotta be, because this affects the Hawks. A ton, because the Hawks are essentially a top four Big Ten team.
I don't know does a 3-2 Wisconsin team are they positioned above a 5-3 Iowa team?
I don't know. See, that's
a weird thing when nobody's played the same amount of games.
I don't know how we get into that because. And we'll talk about that because obviously as you guys listen to this on Thursday or Friday or maybe Saturday morning, we're preparing for Wisconsin.
But Iowa's going to beat Wisconsin, so they're going to be the second team in the West. So that means that we would have played Ohio State.
Correct.
But now we're probably getting the Hoosiers, and I'm going to put a massive bet on my buddy Josh.
A million.
On the Hawks.
On the Hawks. Yeah, feel good about that one. It's really weird, and you bring up a good point. Say the Hawks were to lose this game, do you put a 3-2 team over a 5-3 team? It just becomes so wonky. And at this point, does it even matter? Because it's the second play. It's like the second game of championship week.
No, it wouldn't matter. But I think I honestly am excited for that week's of matchups. I'm excited for the Big Ten championship as much as I am for the 7-7 team.
Yeah, it should be interesting.
Thinking, who's it looking up to be? I think it is Rutgers again versus.
Yeah, so it's going to be Rutgers versus Purdue.
Yeah,
I don't. Here's the thing:
we lost to Purdue.
We did, and that's tough. We lost to David Bell. They've been talking about, a bunch of journalists, people in the media have been suggesting or maybe throwing out the idea of, maybe they use this week, and since it's they can do whatever they want, they're creating this week for this year, maybe we go back and we schedule some games that weren't able to be played. I believe Wisconsin and Minnesota did not get to play each other, and that's a rivalry game. Purdue and Indiana did not get to play each other. That's a rivalry game. And so maybe
– did that get canceled yet?
It did, I believe.
It is canceled.
So they're not going to play that. So the idea is maybe to avoid some rematches and also get a couple games in that were canceled during the season, maybe they just kind of pick and choose who's going to play each other and not worry about the rankings. And where I saw Iowa in that one was they're going to be up against Michigan, which I'll take all day long, baby. Harbaugh's on his way out. Harbaugh might just give the ball to him. I mean, he tried. He really did his best to give it to us in 16, and I'd love for him to give it to us again. And I don't even care. Put us in the Big House. Put us in Kinnick. It doesn't matter.
I think Iowa's at least a 10-point favorite.
I was going to say, touchdown, no doubt, at least.
They were going to be a 30-point dog this weekend to Ohio State.
Unbelievable.
Biggest dog in that rivalry's history.
That's embarrassing. And we talked about it. Is there any way that Harbaugh survives this year? I tend to think not. No, that's where I'm leaning. But it's interesting. So, Ohio State, they are undefeated, but they're only going to have 5 games. They need 6 games to qualify for the national championship or the playoff, and that 6th game has to be the Big Ten championship. So, great. Now they're up against Northwestern. Is Ohio State a top 4 team?
I don't even know. How can you know if they only played 6 games?
They'll have played six games, and I think only two of them will be against people with a winning record.
Indiana
and Northwestern.
Yeah, dude, the Big Ten East this year sucks.
Well, am I right there? Am I? Hold on a second. Maybe I'm wrong, but they played Michigan State. They played Rutgers. They played
Nebraska.
Yeah, I mean they'll either be 500 or a losing record team, and
they haven't looked. I mean, they looked really good last week versus Michigan State.
They looked great versus Michigan State. Cool. So did we.
Michigan State.
Yeah, I mean the Hawks looked like the number one team in the country versus Michigan State. They beat Indiana, but
some points on them, and Indiana they only beat them by 7.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, granted, Indiana's a good team.
Yeah. Let me bring up.
Honestly, if I'm on the committee, I don't know if I could put them in the top four.
I don't think I can either. And I'm a Big Ten guy. Like, I want to see the Big Ten represented. Clearly, the Big Ten wants to see the Big Ten represented. But here's who they're battling with. They're battling with a 7-1.
Pretty much every other team in discussion has played a full season.
Texas A&M is currently ranked 5th. Seven and one, only losses to Alabama.
And they beat Florida, a very good Florida team.
Yep. Who is ranked right behind them? 8-1. Florida's 6th, 8-1, only lost to Texas A&M.
Yeah, undefeated in Alabama, undefeated in Notre Dame. You got a Clemson team who only lost to Notre Dame.
With the quarterback out. So
star quarterback out in overtime.
Those top three are locked in. So it's really like it's always going to be. It's that last spot. And then you've got the next team you've got.
Here's where it gets hairy. If Notre Dame beats Clemson in the ACC championship, Notre Dame's in, obviously Clemson's out.
Yep.
If Clemson beats Notre Dame, do both of them stay in?
Honestly?
If Florida beats Alabama, do both of them stay in?
I think it matters margin of victory. I think it matters. I think there's a chance that if with Trevor Lawrence somehow Clemson decimates Notre Dame, and I don't think that will happen. I think it will be at most a 2-touchdown game.
Mm-hmm.
I do think Clemson will win. Trevor Lawrence is a good, good quarterback.
He is.
What
about our Coastal Carolina?
Right? We'll get there. We'll get there because I'm going to run down through the top 10. But I think if they decimate Notre Dame, Clemson moves up, assuming Alabama wins the SEC title. Maybe Ohio State's case gets stronger there. I don't know. It's hard to say. At 7 is Iowa State. Iowa State they're the highest ranked 2-loss team. They're the only – them and Georgia are the only 2-loss teams in the top 10. So 7 Iowa State. Cincinnati, 8-0.
Cincinnati should be ranked higher.
Cincinnati has a real – I think Cincinnati might have a better claim than Ohio State.
Cincinnati is a really good team. I think Cincinnati should be ranked higher.
Georgia, 6-2 at 9th. Miami at 8-1 in 10th. Oklahoma 7-2. Then you have Indiana at 6-1, but they're going to always be behind Ohio State. And then you have Coastal Carolina at 13, 10-0.
An impressive win over BYU.
A great win over BYU, who a lot of people argued that BYU could hang with pretty much anybody. I don't know what you do. I think in a year like this year, if I'm on, and maybe I lose my committee spot if this was a true story, I say, you know what, Cincinnati and Coastal? It's COVID Chronicles 2020. You guys are in the playoff. Congrats. Go show us what you're made of. And it's
you're going to show them what they're made of. You're going to get shown the door on the committee.
Yes. Yeah, and no one's going to agree with me.
Yeah. No, you don't let both of those teams in. I would like to see a group of five teams get a chance here soon.
I think Cincinnati, yeah. So would you be okay with Alabama, SEC title, Alabama? Assuming they beat Florida. Florida's out of the conversation. Clemson at 10-1 with the ACC title. Cincinnati call them the three or the four, who else do you put there? Do you put the 6-0 Ohio State Buckeyes? Probably.
Over the one-loss team of Notre Dame, whose only loss is to Clemson, the team that they also beat?
Yeah, it's so tough, dude.
It's hard to justify that.
It's hard
to justify that because, again, Ohio State's marquee win is going to be
Indiana.
A good Indiana team. A good Indiana team, okay? They're great. They're not great. It also is going to really depend what Indiana does in that crossover matchup. If they do lose to the Hawks, that makes Ohio State's case look even worse.
And I think they will. They don't have Penix anymore.
Right.
I
don't think it's that good. But
this is what you would call a clusterfuck, I believe. This situation is oftentimes what I would like the teetering between a B and a C grade, and the teacher trying to figure out what I was going to get at the end of the semester. It's like, it's really close. There's a lot of options.
So the committee just hopes Alabama wins and beats Florida.
Absolutely.
Notre Dame wins and beats Clemson.
Absolutely.
So the top two are easy. Then you eliminate those two teams, they're out. And then I think it gets to
it gets hairy, dude.
Then I think at that point you let Ohio State in it undefeated. And then the fourth team.
Clemson's then sitting there. Their only losses are two losses, probably both close losses, one in overtime.
I don't think the Big 12 gets in regardless.
You don't think Iowa State has any chance?
I don't think that, no.
Two losses is just too much, man.
Two losses is too much to say you won the top four.
Especially when it was a bad loss to Louisiana to start the season.
I would say one loss A&M team whose only losses to the number one team in the country has a better resume.
Definitely. I put A&M in there above Iowa State. So Iowa State's going to kick themselves. Similarly to how we could kick ourselves about, you know, a last second loss in the Big Ten Championship. Don't want to talk about it. We talk about it way too much. Iowa State's going to be sitting here at the end of the season thinking, and they're probably plenty happy with where they're at. I think their fan base is pretty in a good spot.
Pretty happy.
Right. But they are essentially, I mean, if they just win one of those games, I think they lost to TCU 17-14, and they lost.
They lost to Oklahoma State. They lost by like a touchdown, but Oklahoma State controlled that.
And they lost to Louisiana.
Louisiana actually kicked the shit out in the first game.
Handled them. Like, I didn't think it was good football at all by Iowa State.
You cannot put a team that got the shit kicked out of them by a Sun Belt team.
Yeah,
I
don't know. It's really tough.
It's like the year that Ohio State didn't make the playoff because they got the shit beat out of them by a 7-5 Iowa team.
Right. Yeah, it's true. If you have a bad loss, it just hurts too much.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is how it ends up. I think Alabama. I think Clemson wins. I think then they leave Notre Dame out. And I think it goes, this is my guess. I think they go Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State, Texas A&M. I think that's how it goes. That's my guess. And I'm glad that I'm not in the seat because.
Right. I mean, so does Cincinnati get a chance at all?
I don't know. Their next, who do they even play? I mean. Cincinnati, their final game is against number 24 Tulsa. If they can kick the shit out of number 24 Tulsa, which they essentially have to do, you know, their best win is against, I don't even know.
I mean, but they've been rolling those people.
I know. They barely beat UCF.
They cover the spread, too.
They cover spreads. They do.
They cover spreads.
Here's another question. Obviously, like, national champion, it's going to feel pretty close to normal for some of those other teams with a full season. But what does this season even mean? I mean, like, it's going to have asterisks by it.
What does anything mean, bro?
It's true. It's a good life question.
We're just pieces of dust floating on a rock in the universe.
You're right.
I don't know, man. It's a weird season. But, you know, for the competitors out there, it's, you know, it doesn't matter where, when, against who's watching. It's you versus me. Who's got it better?
Absolutely. Hey guys, want to interrupt the show to let you guys know that we are sponsored by Indeed. Yes, 2020 has already changed so many things in the way that we work, and businesses across the globe are challenged to be their most efficient every day, which means that every hire is critical. Indeed is here to help. Unlike other sites, Indeed gives you full control and payment flexibility over your hiring. You only pay for what you need, you can pause your account at any time, and there are no long-term contracts. And now Indeed's new way of matching you with candidates instantly delivers a short list of quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job criteria that you can contact the moment you sponsor a job, making Indeed the only job site that can move as fast as you do. Right now, Indeed is offering our listeners a free $75 credit to boost your job post, which means more quality candidates will see it fast. Try Indeed out with a $75 credit for free at Indeed.com/BlueWire. This is their best offer available anywhere. Go right now. It's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Offer valid through December 31st. Terms and conditions apply.
I think the weirdest part will be, like, if you get, like, a whole class of a team just, like, come back next year just because they can.
It'll be weird. I still don't know how that works or what that looks like.
I saw some of the guys' quotes this week that said that they're going to come back for a sixth year. You know, good for you because I would take it.
It's tough. I talked about it with someone. I already forgot who. I think a lot of fans would probably look at that and go, why not come back? And they don't understand that, you know, all the way back to these guys' true freshman year, they step on campus and they have this image in their head. A lot of them think that they're going to be there for 4 years. You know, a lot of guys think they're going to get on the field. They want playing time right away. They don't understand how things work. At Iowa, oftentimes it's not the case. Unless you're Desmond King or unless you're someone who can get on the field early, Iowa's probably going to redshirt you. So you've got so somewhere in between, you know, in the middle of your first year, you realize, okay, here's what I'm looking at. I'm looking at 4.5 years of school, 5 seasons, and this is my end date. I know I'm going to graduate. You know, for us, we came in fall of 2013. We both knew that we were redshirting, and we knew that the race was going to be run from fall of 2013 through the new year of 2017-18. And you have that kind of clock in your head the whole time. And everything is based on that. Your school, like the way you take classes, how you know, like later in your college career, internships or like applying for certain internships or jobs right out of, you know, your last season, like that all. And you get to this point where, you know, if you're going to go to the NFL, what's that extra year going to get you? Yes, it's going to get you one more year of memories. You've got 5 of them, you know, and you kind of feel at that point like, damn, I've been doing this a while. If you're going to go to the league, you're probably going to the league regardless, right? There's going to be a few guys who bloom late in their career. I could think of like one guy, and he still wasn't an NFL caliber guy, but one guy, Cole Fisher, he his senior year in 2015 just came out of nowhere, locked down, I believe he was the Will?
Yeah,
the Will linebacker spot.
Led the team in snaps that year.
Led the team in snaps. But Hart, like, other than some special teams, did not play a large role before that year.
Yeah.
And then in his senior season, like, so a guy that maybe blooms late in his career like that, if Cole was somehow an NFL-caliber linebacker, then maybe he gets another year film. But there's just not that many people who are going to be like, oh, I need another year.
Right. No, I don't think anybody who's got a serious chance at the NFL, I don't think, comes back for a sixth year, especially if they've been like a 2-3 year starter, like you said.
Not only that, but then how do the scholarships work? You know, like the walk-ons who then were put on scholarship, you're probably not getting a scholarship. And I don't know how it works, but you're going to be.
I mean, you know, me myself, in my situation, I've been like, these other three linebackers are leaving.
Yeah, that's true. I might
stick around for another year.
You might. You would have had a good. You would have been in a unique position. For me, You know, I had started for 4 years, and I had gotten out of playing college football what I was going to get out of it. There wasn't a whole, you know, and it's not like another year on the field snapping for the Hawks was going to prepare me for the NFL. Like, I was as prepared as I was going to get. Right. And what you're giving up when you do take that extra year is starting your life, you know, whether that's in the NFL or if it's in the professional world. You're giving up a lot of time that you feel is going to be wasted because you're now having to take classes that you're just filling so that you're eligible. And, you know, maybe you find a master's or a graduate program that you're actually interested in and can be committed to and that you like sticking around for. But, gosh, that gets to be a lot late in your career. It's just not worth it.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be weird. I think an asterisk will always be on the national champion. I think an asterisk will always be on the Big Ten champion this year. It would have been great for Iowa to win one of those two games and be ahead of Northwestern. You know, 1 point Northwestern loss, right? It would almost suck that we win a Big Ten championship and then for the rest of eternity or until we won another one, people were like, well, it was COVID. It was 2020, right? I don't know if it'll actually carry that much significance later on, but it's interesting.
Yeah, but I mean, at the same time, I don't know if there's a one for the Big Ten, like an asterisk for the Big Ten type championship, because we usually play 9 Big Ten games. We're going to play 8 Big Ten games this
year. You're right.
I guess the only asterisk would be like, oh, yeah, you beat Wisconsin when half their team was ineligible.
Yeah, true. Speaking of Wisconsin, the Hawks got the Badgers this week.
In Iowa City.
And usually the Badgers get the Hawks. And that's how the games turned out often over the last decade. They play for a bowl. It happens to be my favorite trophy. I love that thing. And we only had it once. We had it for 1 year. And it felt good to walk by that thing every day when we did have it from 2015 to 2016. The first question of the night for the Washed Up Walk-Ons page was, will a number 16, 5-2 experienced Hawkeyes team dominate the Rona-ridden 2-2 Badgers this year to finally bring the Heartland Trophy home? How much does this trophy really mean to us? I've never seen it in the trophy room, sadly. Can you expand on what the trophy means to players playing for it?
Trophies are fun, man. I love trophy games.
Trophies are good.
It doesn't matter what the trophy is. I mean, not going to lie, Floyd's awesome. But if the Cy-Hawk trophy was literally just somebody's dirty sock, I don't know. It's cool to, go get that dirty sock.
Yeah, it adds this little
nuance. I'm playing for this dirty sock. I want this dirty sock, you know?
Yeah, it adds a cool physical, tangible victory totem to it, right? Mm-hmm. And then it's also a way to track, you know, we kind of know the rivalry records and history a little bit better than we do with Northwestern off the top of your head. It adds a little bit of significance. They're border wars. What it means is, you know, we're basically in the same part of the country. We're recruiting the same players. Who can, over a year's time, 5 years' time, span of a coaching staff's time at a program, who can do things better? And it literally comes down to that. Like, who's better? Unfortunately, Wisconsin's been better. And I'll tell you what, Kev. Jim Leonard, guy knows how to coach a defense, huh?
He all right at coaching defense, yeah.
All right. The problem is you got to play two sides of the ball. And the last couple weeks, you mentioned it on the last podcast, Kevin, they scored 13 points.
In the last two games, yep.
In the last two games. Now, Graham Mertz, like their 14th string QB at the beginning of the season in their opener against Illinois, he looked insane. I think he set a ton of Wisconsin records, but now somehow they've regressed. And it feels like the Hawks are favored in this game, correct?
Last I saw was like a point and a half.
Let me take a look. I got it up right here. Iowa, Wisconsin is anywhere from, well, it's currently sitting at anywhere from minus one to pick 'em.
Yeah. So, I think it opened Iowa minus two and got bet down to Wisconsin, like
yep.
close to it.
Yeah. Yep. So, what do you think?
What do I think? You know, it's kind of hard to get to engage on this Badgers program. They beat the shit out of Illinois, and then they beat the shit out of Michigan.
Right.
And they lost. They couldn't do anything versus, well, against Northwestern, I think they had like five turnovers. And I didn't get a chance to watch their game versus Indiana. But, you know, the fact that they scored 6 points kind of speaks for itself.
It sure does.
I don't know. The defense does it's a very good defense.
Incredible defense. Let me give you some stats. Yeah. They allow 12.3 points per game.
Is that good?
Well, Northwestern allows 15.3. We allow 17.3. And I've been hearing about how we're damn good at defense. So if they allow five less points, granted, they've only played four games against some bad teams.
Not the best offenses. But.
Not the best offenses. But 12.3 points a game, that is not a whole lot. Now, they're right in the middle of the Big Ten in offense. They score in the eighth slot of the Big Ten out of 14. They score just under 27 a game, 26.8.
Again, but like two where they ran it up, two where they couldn't do anything.
Right. It's just that wonky kind of ass-backwards stat. Mm-hmm. Iowa scoring 32.3 points a game, which is fantastic to see. Let's see. Let's dive a little deeper. Running the ball, Wisconsin, they're right at 200 yards a game. It's really good. Iowa's at 178. Stopping the run, again, they're top of the league, but it's hard to tell with four games. They only allow 72 yards per game. If you set the 72.3 as the over-under, I'm going to take the over on the Hawks running for more than 72 yards this game. I think it's going to be a knockdown drag-out game. I think it's going to be tight. I think Pick'em is right where this game should be. Yeah. And it makes me nervous because I want the bowl, Kevin. I want it.
I miss it. Both these defenses kind of play like the same way. Basic assignment football, make the offense beat them. Now, you know, if the offense makes a good play, congratulations, tip your cap, but they don't give up easy plays. They don't give up easy touchdowns. Don't give up big plays. So if you're going to put a scoring drive together, well, guess what? You're going to have to march the ball 3 yards, 4 yards, 3 yards, 4 yards, 5 yards, and do that for a whole drive. Very rarely are you going to get a big play out of either of these defenses. So, yeah, drives are going to take a long time if they're going to come to any fruition. So, it always favors the defense that something's going to go wrong for the offense if they're on the field. Honestly, I think it comes down to which quarterback plays better.
I think it does, too.
Because I think you know what you're going to get out of the running games. They're going to try to establish a running game. Both these defenses kind of pride themselves on stopping the run. It's like, all right, who can make the plays on third and six? You know, who can keep the drive alive on third and six? So I think that's honestly where it's going to be the game. What's going to be the difference in the game?
I like that analysis. Okay, let's look at some other questions here. I asked if I threw on the end of the tweet, are pancakes or waffles better? I know you. I woke up several times to Kevin Ward making some pancakes, some eggs, some toast in the old 337 West Benton Street house. Hey, somehow us talking about breakfast or bringing up pancakes or something completely broke Kevin's microphone for a quick second, but he got it figured out. We're gonna come back in. Remember to subscribe to us on YouTube, Patreon. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, all the good things, at Washed Up Walk-Ons, or just search Washed Up Walk-Ons. We'll pop up. Thanks so much. Now let's get back to the show. A lot of it was all, a lot of these questions were just about the Ohio State. Any bowl cancels their games that big teams would play in other than the pinstripe? I don't know about bowl games. I haven't looked into it. Somebody at the end of this question said, I'll subscribe on Patreon if Drake adds his he-him pronouns to his Twitter account. That's unbelievable. This guy says, Hank Thrasher. I don't, if that's your real name, fucking badass name. Hank Thrasher said, I wore my HBAM shirt for the first two games, then stopped due to superstition. Do I risk putting it on again or retire it for the season? I responded to him. I said, you might have to leave it in the closet for one more week because it seems to be working at this point.
This will be the week to see if the superstition holds up or not.
Yeah, yeah. Otherwise, we didn't get a whole lot of questions. It's just about, like, Ohio State being the favorite of the Big Ten and stuff like that. Toughest Wisconsin player that we ever faced. Probably one of their linemen. I mean, they just – well, Schobert was a really good
– really good.
Schobert was really good at linebacker.
Chris Borland.
Borland was a savage.
Was just a short little wrecking ball.
I think they have a lineman that just entered the league last year. Biotish, I believe is his name.
I'm trying to think. I'm drawing a blank on the safety's name from a couple years back. He also played a little bit of quarterback for them, but I'm drawing a blank. Then obviously on offense, they just had a run of running backs.
Melvin Gordon. I mean,
Melvin Gordon was a freaking horse.
Monty Ball.
Monty Ball was.
James White, Monty Ball, Melvin Gordon, Jonathan Taylor, who, by the way, big time fantasy weekend for JT and the Colts. Helped me secure my fourth win in a row. I went on a 4-win streak to end the regular season in fantasy in both leagues and secured playoff spots in both of them. So I feel like a god. You're in the playoffs, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. Got the win over Drake this weekend. He didn't play quarterback, so that was interesting. But
he was
got the 4 seed in the playoffs out of 16 playoffs.
Nice. Another thing that happened was the Hawks can play basketball, Kevy. We got some absolute shooters.
Boys, we got some assassins around the outside. And then we got Garza down low. It's like, I don't know how you stop it. Garza will win one-on-one down low with anybody.
Anybody. It does not matter.
If somebody goes to help him, he will find the open man, and they will just drain a three at about a 60% rate.
I laughed. I giggled multiple times because of how ridiculous our offense looked last night against North Carolina. First of all, the fact that in a single night, the Hawks and Illinois can go out and handle North Carolina and Duke. I mean, what's going on? I mean, that's 2020 peak right there.
Big Ten, baby. Let's go.
And then Michigan State's a killer. Wisconsin is good. I think the coolest thing about the Hawks, and you kind of touched on it, Garza's going to win. Garza had a bad game and had 16 points and a double-double. And more than the intangible, right? I mean, KF, if he watched last night, which he probably didn't see the whole thing, if any of it, the way that Garza affects the game because of the amount of energy the other team had. I mean, they had 4 guys that were 6'10", 6'10", 6'10", and 6'11". And they had to use all of them to just stop Garza.
And he got them all in foul trouble, too.
All of them. And there's not enough. I cannot imagine there's another team that has 4 bigs that can all guard Garza at the same quality as North Carolina. Like, that was maybe Garza's biggest test individually all year. And even when he gets tested, you kick it to J-Bo, Drano. You kick it to – I mean, my favorite player on the team is Frederick. He is an absolute sniper rifle, and he's extremely fun to watch. Wheezy, Drake's guy, he can knock down the three and also adds a driving, slashing component. And we're deep. We have Connor. We have Patrick. We have Toussaint. I mean, jeez.
I like when Toussaint gets in the game. He's a quick
– He's a starter on most teams in college basketball. So
I saw his tweet that I thought was really funny. It was that the caption was watching Iowa basketball, and it's a meme of the frame in the movie Pocahontas, where the chief is like, these white men are dangerous.
I mean, not that race plays into it, but I mean, generally basketball, kind of an urban sport in the cities. It's where a lot of the great NBA players have come from. And, you know, you look at the greats, like, you know, you got Magic. Magic's – or not Magic. You got Bird up in there holding his own with the greats of basketball. But, you know, LeBron, Kobe, Michael, Magic, all of them, we start a full lineup of just pasty white Elmer's glue. And they come out and just dominate.
I thought it was really funny.
It's pretty funny. A complete side note, I saw that you liked the tweet that I also liked today. It was the Michael Jordan meme, but they put Rudolph's head and arms on it, and it said they told Rudolph that he couldn't play in any reindeer games, and I took that personally. That's the funniest shit I've ever seen. The internet's undefeated, so...
Twitter is just an absolute scum of the earth. You should never go there, but it's got the funniest stuff.
100%. 100%. I think that brings us to a nice little time in the podcast.
Kevin.
That we all love. All we do is go 1-4-2. We're all 50% because we're not that great at betting. So, I've been slacking. Tech guy, run the podcast, got a lot of shit going on. Personal training business been popping, right? Doing well, right? Takes up my time, right? I there's a lot of things going to the walk-ons, create an Instagram, post on Facebook, Twitter. So I haven't been keeping up with the last, I believe, 2 weeks of our betting records. But we were all like 50% around there. Which brings us to the awards winner segment. Kevin, what do you got?
Well, teased it earlier. Wisconsin got a great defense.
Yeah, they do.
Iowa's got a great defense.
Yeah, they do too.
Neither of them give up big plays.
Mm-mm.
Means it takes a long time for a scoring drive to happen. If it does happen at all.
Smell like an under, huh?
Iowa's got a pretty good punter.
Damn good punter.
So I love... the Wisconsin versus Iowa under at 42.5. Lock it in.
I actually love that, too.
Love it, too. That this team's got – I don't know what the final score is going to – like, who's going to be playing. It's going to be like 16-10.
I was going to say, it's going to be 10-6 like we did in 2015. It might be that game.
Very well might be. I got Auburn minus 6.5 versus Mississippi State.
Okay.
I thought Auburn was pretty competitive versus A&M last week. I think, Mississippi State's just not that great. I mean, they had a big win over LSU to start the year, which everyone thought was cool because they thought LSU was still good. LSU's trash. So I got Auburn covering a touchdown there. And then, you know, I bet a couple of the dogs in the Big Ten. Which pick do I want to give to the people? I'm going to give, you know what, give me Illinois plus 14 versus Northwestern.
I like that. I like that.
Yeah.
I don't hate it.
Illinois is playing better football. You saw.
They are.
If they could play the first quarter they did against the Hawks, I mean, like, everything was just running on cylinders. Like, couldn't defense playing well.
Yeah.
Offense was bam, bam. They were making plays. I think Illinois can cover two touchdowns versus Northwestern. Those are my college picks.
Let me give you my college picks quick.
Go for it.
I got two picks, like I've been doing since I decided to just make it 2-2. I'm going Georgia, minus 13 against Missouri. I just don't like Missouri.
That's fair. Missouri is a shitty state.
Shitty state. They're not great at football. I'm going to take Georgia minus 13 against Missouri. And your boy, this might be the first time, my official pick on the Iowa-Wisconsin game.
We're going with the Hawks, baby.
Let's go.
Get them at plus one, minus one, pick them. I don't care. I think Iowa's winning the game by a touchdown. I think we're going to win the game by a touchdown. Maybe 16-10, like you said. I think I'm taking the Hawks, so give me Georgia minus 13. Iowa, wherever you get them, as long as it doesn't and it won't go up too far. And those are my two college picks. Go ahead with the NFL.
I got the New Orleans Saints minus a touchdown versus the Philadelphia Eagles.
I like that.
They just benched Carson Wentz. Is Jalen Hurts much better? No. You ain't got much around him. I'll tell you what, you ain't got anybody to throw the ball to. You ain't got nobody really to block for him. Mm-hmm. New Orleans got a pretty solid defense. I like New Orleans covering a touchdown in that game. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yeah, I like it.
Yes. 6.5 versus the Minnesota Vikings. Mm-hmm. Coming off a bye week, I think it's going to help them, get some of the things right that they've been having a little issues with.
Those creaky bones.
Get Tom good with his time with his receivers. And, Minnesota's secondary is questionable. Buccaneers got some weapons on the outside there to get the ball to. So I think Tampa Bay Vikings covering 6.5 versus the Tampa Bay Buccaneers 6.5
over the Vikings. All right. Is that it?
That's it. That's all I got for the NFL.
All right. I am hopping on the Tampa train, and I'm with that -6.5 or wherever -6.5. The Vikings are such a weird team. Like, some of their scores that they've had this year are weird. Is Kirk Cousins good? Yes. No. I know that he's got Dalvin Cook and Justin Jefferson and Adam Thielen, who score a shitload of points every week for fantasy. But they're just not a great team. And I think actually Tampa Bay has a little bit to prove. I think they still are doubted by a lot of people, and I think a bye week, Tom Brady in a bye week, it bodes well for the Buccaneers. My second pick, Kansas City Chiefs, -7 against the Miami Dolphins. Now, Miami's burned me a couple times this year. I'll admit that. Probably because they're down there in Miami, Florida, where it's hot. The sun is always shining, and they're burning my ass a couple times. But Kansas City is unbelievable. I mean, they are so fun to watch as a football team. Andy Reid is a freaking genius. And a touchdown is just not enough for the Dolphins, I don't think, this week. So
they had a tight one versus the Broncos.
I know. I like Kansas City in the warm weather. All right. Those are my two picks. And we are not
– made those picks.
We are not betting professionals, so you should not follow us. But if you did, that's what we're going to go with this week. Anything else to say, Kev, before we sign off and ride off into a weekend where we're battling for the bowl?
You know, all I want for my birthday is the bowl. So hope the Hawks give me that on Saturday. Hawks by 9, baby. Actually, Hawks by not that much because we want the under. So get those T-shirts printed. Hawks by not that much. That's all I got.
Hawks by a little bit. That's episode 170 of the podcast. Holy smokes. Tell your friend about a podcast. Tell a friend about the Wash Up Walk Ons podcast. That'd be a great Christmas gift to the boys. Text somebody that you know doesn't listen to us and say, hey, there's these three assholes who get on a microphone for about 30 to 45 minutes twice a week, and they talk about the Hawks, and it's decent. It's okay. It's at least a 6 out of 10. And we'd appreciate that. So,
and you hear the washed-up walk-ons, we're okay with sixes, right?
Yeah. Three of them, 666. Yes. That's it, everybody. We'll talk at you again next week after the regular season has concluded. For Kevin and myself, we're the walk-ons. Peace. See you. Oh.
everyone. I'm MJ Acosta-Ruiz.
And I'm Lindsay Zarniak.
And together we'll be hosting the On Her Turf podcast. This summer, On Her Turf is hosting a daily Olympics podcast that focuses exclusively on women's sports and the amazing women competing in Tokyo. We'll bring you interviews with Olympians and in-depth analysis on your favorite teams. Plus, we're going to talk about some of the challenges still facing women's sports today. So join us daily at On Her Turf as we cover all the excitement of the Tokyo Olympics.
Be sure to check us out on Apple Podcasts. And be sure to follow On Her Turf on Twitter and Instagram, too.